time in many senses. You know, you being here is a miracle. If you think how many people was needed for you to come to know the Lord, how many times people was speaking to you, invited to church, friends, pastor, family, for how long? You know, so when we start talking about this, us being here is a great miracle. It's you know, we are surely we're invited by somebody, even a pastor or missionary, or some Christian with a missionary heart. And we need more of that heart. We need more of that heart, because if we end this process, brothers and sisters, if that process ends with us, you know, we're gonna be stopping the advance of the kingdom of God, and the process needs to continue. Somebody spoke to you about Jesus for years, maybe. Somebody was invited to you to come to church, and so let me ask you something. We're doing the same thing. Did the process is still going with us, or maybe the process has stopped with us? And you know, as a foreigner, we always have the viewpoint that the United States, it was full of Christians. You know, we always saw the United States as you know, everybody is a Christian in everywhere in the United States. And you know, it's still in some parts. But when you come here and you start living there, you realize that that's not really the truth. But it was. And I believe, brothers, that, you know, it's very interesting, because we saw in the Bible that when we settle as Christians, when we stop this process, God always sent persecution for us to be shaken, so that way Christianity can keep growing. And we can see that from the beginning of Christianity. We were learning in Sunday school about, you know, crucifixion of Jesus and all that. And from that same time that Jesus was crucified, what their disciples did? They ran out. Christianity started flourishing. God tell them in different times in the book of Acts and in the book of and in the gospel, you know, go ye and spread the word. They did the opposite. They, okay, let's get together, you know. So God sent the Apostle Paul. I don't know how to say the name in English, but in Spanish it's Saulo. Saul, it will be. Saul, you know. And he started persecuting the church. So everybody said, okay, let's get out of here. You know? And as the way they were in different places, Christianity started spreading. So sometimes, brothers and sisters, we need to be shake it a little bit by God. So that way, as we were talking about the Hurricane Katrina, you know, and everything in our lives have a purpose. But I just wanted to talk to you again about this missionary process that each one of us has to have. And the first part, if you want, go to your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 12 and verse 4 to 12. In the book of Acts, chapter 12. And the Bible says, and when Herod would have brought him forward the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the Lord kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel says unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And with not that it was through which was done by the angel, but now he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came up unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he says, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And the first thing, brothers and sisters, that we need in our lives to keep following that process, then somebody start with us, is we need to pray. Missionary work need of our prayers. Egocentric people just worry about themselves. Christocentric people will worry about others. And God will take care of us. Sometimes we're worried about just us. And you know, and we are so busy taking care of us that God said, no. You're busy with you. I'm not going to mess with you. But if we start praying, we start put our heart to taking care of others, you know what? God will start taking care of us. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, or Christianity is so simple in the way that we don't see the hand of God working miraculously in our life. And we need more of that. But again, if we're so busy with us, you know, God says, you know, you have enough with you. And, you know, God helped Peter here, but the church were praying. And, you know, that process, that missionary process that somebody started with you needs to keep going. And it was not going to happen. You will not going to care of others. We're going to be selfish Christians if we don't pray.
Amen.
And one missionary went to his church, and he was visiting a local church in Michigan. And he started sharing this story with his church. And he says, I was as a missionary in a small hospital in a rural area in Africa. And every 2 weeks I was needed to travel to buy medicine and food. That traveling was 2 days longer. And I was needed to go through a jungle. And because the trip was so long, I was needed to camp in the middle of the trip and pass the night there and keep going onto the next day. In one of those trips, I run to a city where two guys were fighting. And one of them were very, very ill. So I helped this guy who was there in the street with blood and everything. I tried to help them. And I speak them about the Lord, this missionary was saying. And when I was done with that, I keep going to where I was going to buy the medicine. That night I camped, as always, in the middle of my trip. And then the next day I keep going to the place where I was going to get the goods. And then I came back. 2 weeks later, I was needed to go out again. When I get to the city, that man that I helped weeks ago approached to me and told me, me and some friends, we saw that you have money. And we saw that you were going to buy stuff, but we saw you have money. So we follow you in the jungle. And we were planning to kill you and to steal your money. And but when we were closer to where you were camping, You were, we saw 26 people around you. People with guns, very well, they were protecting you, 26 people. So these guys started laughing and said, I was by myself. I always travel alone, this missionary insists. And the other guy says, no, sir, because I was not the only person who counted those guards. All my friends saw them, and even we counted them. When this missionary was sharing this story in his home church in Michigan, one of the men from the church stepped up and says, and asked the missionary, when that happened? Can you tell me the date? And the missionary responded to him. And this man from the church started to say, and he said, and he started to share to this missionary, that day, as we were night in Africa, it was day here in Michigan, and that day I feel so compelled to pray for you. So I called some brothers from the church here in Michigan, and I invited them to come and pray for you. And the call of the Lord was so strong, then we get together some brothers from the church and we start to pray. And so I asked them, can you count then how many we are here to pray for this guy in Africa? And they start counting, and there were 26 people praying for this guy in that church. So, you know, brothers and sisters, prayer is important. Pray, you know, sometimes we don't, we're in this fleshly and materialistic life, we don't see the results of our prayer. And some of them, we may find out the same as this congregation find. But some of those results we may find out until we get to heaven. But again, brothers and sisters, this community need for us to follow that missionary process that started with you. Some of you may grow up in church and they may, and some of you may depart from God and then they come back years later. I don't know your story. But someone with a missionary heart talked to you about Jesus. Maybe it was a friend when you were growing up. Maybe it was somebody from a school or a relative. But it was somebody who have a heart for you. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray. And if we saw our Bibles in the book of Acts, we're in chapter 12. Let's go to chapter 16 and verse 22. In the book of Acts, in chapter 16 and verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. Acts 16:22. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and some praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners have been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we all are here. I'm sure this happened in a prison here in Mississippi. This was not going to be the case. Then he called for a light and sprang in and kept trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Maybe someone speak to us about the Lord. Maybe someone took us to this time and we said, okay, what I need to do to this? As we were visiting the brother with your pastor yesterday, we spoke with two guys, and I gave him some tracks in Spanish, and I'm gonna leave you some tracks in Spanish here, so that way you can pass to some people. They're in Spanish, so if you give it to somebody in English, they may not gonna be able to read it. But we asked them the same question. If you die today, you know where to go? No. I go to some church. I go to the Catholic Church. For years, I grew up in religion. Okay, so do you know where you're going if you die? No. This question, brothers, what must I do to be saved? You know, others need to hear this question. We need to pray that the Lord can constrict our hearts so that way we can saw the necessity. We can start taking out the viewpoint just on us and start to see the need for others. Even here in South Mississippi, where, you know, it's a church everywhere. Amen. I'm sure you know, friends, I'm sure that you know a lady who is a struggle. I'm sure you know somebody who needs the Lord. So, to have a missionary heart, we need to pray. To have a missionary heart, we need to get involved. In the second century, when church left to heaven and the disciples started to spread the gospel, all the first century of the church was very active. But in the second and third century, some viewpoint changed and some people start to think, okay, you know, I need to get out of this fleshly world. I need to depart myself from the world. And a lot of monasteries start to be built. And people start to think that the farthest they get out of the world, the safer they will be. And that monastic way of life started to develop in those centuries. And you know, we can... We saw those monasteries around the world, in Europe and in our countries, Latin America. But people think that the best way to be a Christian was to just be by yourself, you know. They were praying. They were reading the scripture. But they were not talking to no one. They were not getting involved with nothing. And those people pray and read the scripture, they probably, you know... There was a lot of scribes who wrote the Bible in those years. People who loved the Lord would have not a good viewpoint of what God wanted them to do. So brothers and sisters, we need to get involved. We need to get involved in the work of the Lord. Matthew 20, 27 and 28 says, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." This other missionary called William Carey, he was one of the first Baptist missionaries to went and work with the Hindu people. And they started working and working very hard. And for the first 7 years, he didn't have not even one people receiving Christ. Some of the churches who were supporting this missionary find that out, and they wanted to withdraw the support. So William Carey sent them a letter and tell them I beg you, have a little bit of patience. These people start to work in the year 1840. For 7 years, they didn't have one people receiving Christ. By the year 1870, it's estimated that it was more than 100,000 people has receiving Christ in their heart. But you know, in those years, serving the Lord was no airplanes, it was you have to travel in boat, and it was a lot of people die very easily. But they get involved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When we start the work in the city of Ripley, when we just came here, as Brother Willie says, I believe the Hobo Lachito Association was the first association we visit, and I'm thinking November 2003. When we moved here to work as missionaries, I was 23 years old, and really don't know what we were doing, but just trusting the Lord. And when Brother Ray Freeman, tell us we're going to go to the Hobo Lachito Association, I was saying, what? The Hobo what? We were not knowing really what the Lord had for us. Then we moved to North Mississippi, and we traveled around north part of the state looking for Hispanic communities. And we found out in the city of Ripley, I don't know if you have heard of, it's a small city. We have a big flea market. And but we were doing everything by ourselves. In that time, we didn't have Pablo and Josue. So every night, me and Wendy, we went to the church to clean, to mop, to give, so that way it will look nice for the next day. Wendy, in that time, she sang and she was the song leader. She was playing the piano. She was also taking care of the kids. I was taking care of the adults and preaching. Sometimes it was nobody there. Sometimes she was the only one I was preaching to. And she was not a very good responsible. And so, but we were needed to do all those things. Maybe the load was heavy, but we were obedient to the call that the Lord has made into our lives as Christians to get involved. It's so, thank you so much for the people. Thanks to you if you help here in this church. If we need more people to help us as pastors, to help in the ministry, we need more people to get involved in ministry. We need to start asking, what can I do? Instead of what they can do for me. My brothers and sisters, somebody start this missionary process in you. So what be the process is continuing? Are you talking to somebody about Jesus? Well, you may say, Brother, well, I haven't done that, really. I haven't just focused on my problems. I have maybe health problems. I may have financial problems. I may have some problems. But we all need to remember that when someone was faithful to us, to talk and talk to us about Jesus. Proverbs 11:24 says, There is that scattereth and yet increase, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Let's go to Proverbs 11:24. Let's use our Bibles. Proverbs 11:24. If you don't have a Bible, I can give you mine. It's in Spanish, bro. No, it's I have an English and Spanish. Proverbs 11:24. I really like this scripture. It speaks a lot about what the Lord has for us. Proverbs 11:24. As we were talking with Brother Willie and his wife about Katrina, it's really incredible how when we don't have nothing, no electricity or the power, some of the best nights that we have in Guatemala with her family was when the power was out. We start to talk. We start to, you know, just wait for the power to talk. Put some candles there. Start eating something. And we have go so far about we have the part about the important things, about the precious things. And there's so many distractions. But this scripture tells them, you know, when we give, we will receive. In other words, if we say that if we give, we receive. There is one who will hold more than is appropriate, but gains poverty. You know, sometimes we think, okay, you know, I need to ask. As Brother Willie was, we're using him a lot because all the stories they have told. You know, he was a preacher. Katrina, the house was torn apart. So we can say, God, why me? I'm preaching your word. But, you know, God will give you if we give ourselves. So we need to pray to have a missionary heart. We need to get involved to have a... We need to get involved, brothers and sisters. Only until we start to give, we will receive from God what we need. We need to pray. We need to get involved. We need to give our heart to the Lord. You know, when we pray to receive Jesus in our heart, we say, Jesus, you're my Savior. You're my Lord and my Savior. But from some of us, He's only our Savior. But He's not our Lord. You know, a Lord is somebody who has all the control upon us. And nothing will happen in this community if we don't give ourselves totally from our heart. When was the last time that you say, I give my entire heart to you, Jesus? When was the last time you make a promise to God? We make promises to everybody on a daily basis. You know, I promise you to pay you. Please let me use your vehicle, please. And I promise you I will bring this. But how long has it been since you made a promise to God? Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 says, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. You know, we all struggle through life. And sometimes those struggles, they make our heart hard. Those words together are hard to say. The heart, hard. God wants us to take that hardness and give us a flesh heart. You know, just only when we have a flesh heart, we will receive His word. We can be here in church every Sunday, hear the word of God, came in and came out the same way. But only when we have a soft heart, the word will be able to get in us. The word will be able to transform us. The best place you can be, the most secure place, the most blessed place you can be, is in the middle of the will of God. Are we there? Think about this. Are you fulfilling the dreams of your life? Have you ever think that God also have dreams for you? You know, God have also dreams for you. Are you in the middle of the will of God, or you may think, oh brother, not even the dream that I used to have in high school I have fulfilled. Well, maybe it's the moment to start to pray more. Maybe it's the moment to start to get involved more. Maybe it's the moment to start give our hearts totally and make our Lord not only our Savior, who give us security, but also make Him our Lord, then, so that we can give Him authority upon us. As you know, you don't imagine how much influence you have in the world. But me as a foreign, I can say it to you. You as an American, or that word Caucasian, it's hard to say that Caucasian. When missionaries go to our countries, just because being from a different color, you know, in most of our Latin American countries, people respect Americans. And as an American, brothers and sisters, you have great influence, really. And sometimes we're not able to see that, but I'm telling you that. You have great influence in the place that you are, the way you are. Sometimes we can say, oh, you know, I'm just a regular average person. But around the world, Americans are very well respected. Even here, with people from other colors, if you wanted to say, if you get more involved, the Lord will do great and mighty things upon you. God wants us to have a missionary heart. And, you know, this church is part of the Hope of Chido. As I say that, now I can say it is the Hope of Chido. How do you say that? How do you say it? Is the way to say the Brother Willie?
Hope of Chile.
Yes, Hope of Chile. I like that better. You know? you should have told us that next week we have a, what do you have next week? Spaghetti? Should come next week. It's not fair, but yeah. And now I can say Hopo of Chile. And you know, the Hopo of Chile a couple of years ago started supporting us with an offering. And you don't imagine how many times I have been without money for gas, and you know, getting that envelope in the mail, and then like, okay, you know, I can do this and I can do that. And maybe the dollar that you put today in the offering, part of that you're going to send to us or to somebody else somewhere around the world. You know, maybe the dollar or the $5 that you put in the offering, you know, maybe in some way we're going to use it to buy a couple of extra breakfast money. I don't know. But brothers, we need to keep that process going. We need to speak to others about Jesus. This area, our church, need for us to keep that process going. So, I'm gonna end asking you that question. Are you living the dreams of your life? As a guy from Guatemala, Guatemala, can you say that? Guatemala, we say, but it's Guatemala. Guatemala is the next country from Mexico. Small, third world country. The only thing that I was having there was dreams. I started serving the Lord when I was very young, and I always knew in my heart that I was not going to stay too long in Guatemala. The Lord moved us here, and I was so excited to start living one of my dreams. And for years, the Lord allowed us to work there in the city of Ripley and establish a church. We have a small Bible institute in Spanish, and from that, and then, you know, when we were able to establish the church, the next dream was, okay, you know, it would be so awesome to have more churches. You know, I mean, we can do more. I was not knowing how, but it was just a dream. And the Lord started raising people. And we were able to send a family through the city of Tupelo, where I was born. And where Elvis was born. And We were able to send another guy to Oxford. Now we have another guy who is start going to almost to the border between Tennessee and Mississippi in the Olive Branch South Haven area. And he's going every Thursday to do discipleship and soul winning. Another guy came last year from our church and went back to his country in Mexico, in Campeche, Mexico. And really, without any support, he started a church there. So now we have four missions. Three here, one in Mexico. Don't know it now. But brothers, when we quit looking ourselves, God will provide what we need. When we quit putting the eye on us and see, oh, I need this, I need that. You know, the more we have, have you ever happened to you that we saw something on the TV or we saw something from a friend, like, you know, and we get excited about it, we get it. And then when we have it, you know, when we have it, you're like, you know, I don't need it no more. I need something else. Brothers and sisters, when we quit worrying about ourselves, the Lord will start worrying about us. Are you living the life of your dreams? You know, and that doesn't mean we have all the money of the world. If you live in the middle of the will of the Lord, you will be the most happiest person. You will feel fulfilling in your heart. Because as Christian, that's the intention that Jesus had. So are you like that right now? Or you can say, well, brother, you know, I'm just living day by day. Well, the Lord is speaking to us today. He wants us to dream big. But we need to look for Him. We need to pray more. We need to get involved more. We need to give our heart to the Lord. So let's close our eyes and let's pray.
They came from about 6 hours from here, and they drove here, and you spent the time here with us. If you feel like to help them out, that'd be great. They didn't ask for it, and they wasn't expecting it, but it'd be good for us to do that if you would. So pray for them. Pray for the Hispanic people, for their work, to go out and share the gospel. Christ is above any political stuff out there. We need to be about giving the gospel to every creature. Amen? What you know?
Number 109.